title of this message is We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. If you're taking notes, you want to put a subtitle on it. The subtitle is We Don't Sit on the Couch by Faith. We're called to walk. And I remember from my elementary school grammar that walk is a verb of motion. Walking is an action. So as pastors mentioned, there's a call that was put on our life. We first heard this in 2016. It was probably August of 2016. I was in a meeting where God said, after you retire, I want you to move to Honduras and be full-time missionaries. I'm like, what? Me, right? Don't speak Spanish. Never wanted to be a missionary. I've done a lot of short-term missions. Did not want to be a missionary, much less a full-time missionary. And a general, I want you to go without any kind of, at the time, without any kind of, I want you to go and do this. I want you to go and evangelize. I want you to go and feed the hungry people. I want you to go and do that. I want you to go. That's all we knew at the time. So it's been an interesting journey. It's been an interesting walk. God has refined our ministry, and He's called us to minister to worship leaders, showing us that a lot of people go and minister to pastors and do pastoral training and pastoral support, but not many people go to do missionary to go for worship leaders. And besides being a worship leader here for almost 9 years, just shy of 9 years, I was also a worship leader in Connecticut, and I've been involved in worship ministry for probably about 35 years. I've studied it, I've taught on it, I've preached on it, and God has really given me something to say, and I think that it will resonate in Honduras. I hope that it does. And one of the things that He's specifically called us to do is to break down denominational barriers. Because here, I can go to a Baptist church and I can worship. I can go to a Catholic church and I can worship. A Catholic can come here and worship because there's one Bible. And the Bible is very specific when it talks about how to worship. So why can't I do that in Honduras? I can. I will. We will. We didn't choose a path. We heard the call of God and we chose to obey it. And it's as simple and as difficult and as scary as that sounds, as crazy as that sounds. So, you know, you've heard people say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's absolutely a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because God wants you to have more than you can handle, because He wants you to rely and be dependent on Him. And that's what I wasn't going to start this early. That's what this journey has taught us, is to be totally dependent on God. I remember sharing with somebody a while back about these struggles, and he goes, wow, because that'll keep you on your toes and on your knees. And I was trying to picture that, your toes and your knees. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Or we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Walk, live. There's a real big difference in English in those two words. So whenever I see a difference in between translations on specific words, I like to go back to the Greek and say, what does the Greek say? So in Greek, the word that's translated as walk is peripateo. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but there's an app for that on my phone. So peripateo is made up of two words. It's a compound word. It's made up of a prefix, para, and then the main part of the word, which is pateo. Para, or we would say peri, so a peri, I don't know. So think about perimeter. Perimeter means to as the distance around something. So this is kind of what peri means. Peri means around. Pateo is a word that means to put your foot down with purpose. So peripateo means to walk around with purpose. So it's not to stand in one place, and it is not specifically not to run. Now, yes, we're told to run the race, but this is not peripateo. Peripateo means to walk. And so when I talk about putting your foot down with purpose, there are two examples that were given. One of them was stomping grapes in a wine press, that you put your foot down and you're like this. And you have a purpose in what you're doing. You're trying to stomp all the juice out of the grapes. The other one is to step on an insect or a scorpion or something like that to kill it. You're putting it down. You have a purpose in what you're doing is putting it down. So when you think about peripateo, that walk, we're told to walk and to put our feet down and to live with a purpose in our step. When Jesus, it was interesting that you did oceans. When Jesus walked on the water, the word that they used for walk is peripateo. He walked with purpose on the water. Now I'm going to say one thing before I go any further. We sang that song, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Do you mean that? If you don't mean it, don't sing it. If you do mean it, watch out. He'll answer that prayer. Well, let's take a look at faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, people say, faith is to believe in something whether you see it or not. No. If you can see it, that's not faith. Faith is to believe in something that you do not see. So when you walk by faith, you are walking to a destination that you can't see yet. You can't see how it plays out. I have no idea what life is going to look like in Honduras. I have a feeling that's done purposely. Now, we've been in Honduras enough to know that you can lose power every day. We know that in Honduras, gas is probably twice as expensive as it is here in the United States. We know that in Honduras, we can't drink the water that comes out of the faucet. You know, those kind of things, we know those. We've been to Honduras often enough to understand that. We know that it is very rare that somebody speaks English. And if we get around, we're going to have to get around by Spanish. Faith is what it takes to do something absolutely crazy for the sole purpose of the fact that it's God telling you to do it. Point number one, the walk of faith is to make choices and take action based on our faith in what Jesus is telling us to do. One thing that it was interesting. I was going down to meet a friend of ours. We were going down. We're going to have dinner with them. Drove across the state to have dinner with somebody. It was kind of interesting. But it was worth it. It was worth the trip. And he said, hey, I want you to listen to a podcast I did. I'm like, I don't, you know, a lot of you listen to podcasts and you listen to podcasts on a daily basis. I love that. I understand it. I'm not one of those people. I don't know why, but so we listened as we're driving along. We listened to this podcast. It was about an hour long, and he was talking about mentoring, and something really hit me because he was talking about, he goes, as I mentor my son, I am learning from my son as he is learning from me. And I'm like, that sounds like a partnership. That doesn't sound like a mentorship. It sounds like a partnership. And it hit me that that's what God is calling us into. God isn't calling us into a one-way deal. He's calling us into a partnership with him. And that's why when he tells us to walk in faith, it's a walk. We need to move. I'll give you an example. After Jesus was resurrected, he had appeared to his disciples once, but then, I don't know why, but they're just sitting around one day and they're bored. And you know when you're bored, a lot of times you fall back on what you know and what you're comfortable with? Peter goes, I'm going fishing. And James and John and the rest of them are like, yeah, let's go fishing. And they go out, they're fishing all night, and they don't catch a thing. And then they're out, they're about 100 yards from shore, and it's not quite, the sun hasn't quite come up yet, and they see somebody standing on shore. And he said, have you guys caught any fish yet? And they're like, no. Well, throw your nets down to the right-hand side of the boat. These are fishermen. They've been throwing their nets on the right, on the left, in the back, wherever they can throw their nets. They've been throwing their nets all night. These guys know how to fish. They're throwing their nets down, but he tells them to do it. And they put their nets down, and now they can't hold. They can barely get the nets in. They're trying to pull the nets in, and it's just so full. And John's going, that's Jesus. I recognize that. That's Jesus. And Peter's like, I'm out of here. I'm going. Now, it's interesting. They get to the shore. They're dragging their nets to the shore because they couldn't get it in the boat. And Jesus is sitting there. He's got a fish on the grill, cooking a fish. And so they come up, and they're kind of like, really recognize him as Jesus. They knew it was Jesus based on the fact that he gave them the word and a miracle happened, but they still don't recognize. Nobody's saying, who are you? Because they're afraid to ask him. Now, a couple things about this that really kind of strike out at me. What was the purpose in Jesus telling them what to do? When Jesus said, throw your nets down to the other side of the boat, what was this purpose? Was the purpose so that they could catch fish? No. Because if the purpose was for them to get fish, he would have said, hey, fish, get in the boat. And all the fish would have jumped in the boat and they would have had plenty of fish. But no, it was about walking and acting and moving in faith. And it was calling them to do something and to step out in their faith, to throw their nets down, and it would come. Now, it's interesting. Jesus was already cooking fish when they got there. He doesn't need your fish. He probably put the pan out and said, fish, jump in the pan. He doesn't need your fish. He needs your faith. Similar story happened, Luke 5. They're fishing all night. And this is before they called him. I mean, They went out, same thing. They've been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. Put your nets down, catch. Now he's got to have another boat come up to get the net in. So what are some, let's look at some common characteristics between Luke 5 and John 21. Number one, they heard what Jesus said. Number two, they chose to obey. Number three, they did the hard work. And number four, they saw the miracle. I was looking for an instance in the Bible where Jesus was going to bring a miracle, but he wasn't going to require any step of faith or any movement of faith or any, what's the word I want to, any action of faith on their part. Even dead people. He said, Lazarus, come forth. His little girl, arise. Take up your pallet and walk. Wait a minute. I can't walk. Well, do it anyway, because I'm the one telling you to do it. Do it. Wait a minute. How do you even do that? How do you even walk if you haven't walked in 30 years or whatever? the reason I'm bringing this up is I've seen people when an altar call happens, and they say, well, I'm not going to come forward because God can touch me right where I am. And that's absolutely true. God can touch you right where you are. But remember, he's calling us to a partnership. He's calling us to walk by faith, to put feet to our faith, and to move. And sometimes it's to move out of our seat, get out of the boat, throw down your nets, get ready to do the hard work. And sometimes the hard work is just walk from the back of the sanctuary up to the front. You know, when Bartimaeus was, Jesus was walking by, and I love this story. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus, because he shouts out, he's in this crowd, and there's a crowd that followed Jesus almost everywhere. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're like, and he goes, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And like, no, you don't want to bother him right now. He can come to you later. No, you don't understand. I'm not going to let you stop me from getting to him. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She goes, I'm not going to let you stop me. And we're going to push through the crowd and get to Jesus no matter what. And that's what this walk of faith is. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do it. It's going to get done no matter what. And I tell you something, I can't tell you how many times, especially in recent months, the thought has crossed our mind, what if we just stopped? What if we just hung it up? Wouldn't it be easier just to live in our home? Wouldn't it be easier to just stay where we are? Wouldn't it be easier to just say, we must have heard wrong. I hear wrong all the time. I don't mind biting the bullet in that. But I know God called us. I know God called us. And when you know God called you to something, you better take that step of faith. Because if you're not going to move forward, you're going to move backwards. Whew. Sometimes it's crazy. There's an author that I love. His name is Mark Batterson. If you ever want to just get encouraged, read some Mark Batterson stuff, because it's crazy, the stuff that he's done. He pastors a church up in Washington, D.C., about a half a block from the Capitol building. He walked around this property for like 5 years before God finally made a way for him to buy and to build a church there. And he said, you know, when he started walking and praying in faith, he said it reminded him of the first time he went hang gliding. And so he's hang gliding, or he's getting ready to. And if you've never done it before, and I've never done it before, so it would freak me out. But he stood there waiting. He's ready to run off a cliff. And he's thinking to himself, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. And he's running toward the end of the edge of the cliff. And as soon as he gets off the cliff, he goes, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome. And that's what our walk of faith is like. And some of us have been there. We've been there. We've seen it. You know, when you get a word when you get a word for somebody, and you go, that's crazy. I can't tell them that. I can't tell them that. You know, you say, I can't. True. What if it's not true? What if it's, I can't tell them that word. I can't tell them that. It gets burning inside of you. But I can't tell them. And then you see it. You see the word make a difference in the life of a person. And you see the Holy Spirit move on their heart. This is awesome. This is awesome. That's what this walk of faith is. It's crazy. It's scary. And it's awesome. Point number two, your faith will be tested. Miracles don't always come the first time you asked. If miracles came every time you asked, you would not need faith. It would be like putting money in a vending machine, saying, I put my quarter in, I get my miracle out. God is not a vending machine. God does not desire that kind of interactional relationship. He wants a relationship. He wants something where you're coming to him, and when it doesn't work, you're still coming to him. And when it still doesn't work, when we still don't see it, you're still coming to him because you have faith. I remember hearing a teaching that when you pray for something once, and then that's it. You don't ever pray for it again. That's not what the Bible says. That's another lie from the pit of hell. I get it, because I think if you pray for it twice, it means you didn't have faith the first time. No, it means you still have faith. If I'm praying for it the second time, it means I've got faith the second time. I'm still coming. I'm still praying for it the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. We went to visit James a couple weeks ago in the hospital. And I told him, I said, James, I'll be honest with you. First time I met you was about 2 years ago. I think when he came in, the pastor wanted all of us to pray for him. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can pray for him. Because he looked so weak. I didn't think that he was going to survive the prayer. And I'm being perfectly honest with you, I love James. He goes, the pain's incredible. This was a couple of weeks ago. He goes, I can't even describe the pain. He said, but as long as I have breath in my lungs, I've got purpose. He never, ever gave up the faith. That's faith because he prayed the first time. He prayed the second. We prayed the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. We prayed dozens of times. And it's not because we didn't have faith. It's because we absolutely had faith. Because God is our only hope. When you break it right down, God is our only hope. We don't have hope in doctors. I love it. I was listening to Pastor Sarah's. We're reading a book by Pastor Sarah's dad. And I think I talk about this a little bit farther. He goes, practice. Practice hearing the voice of God. Practice praying for people. He goes, doctors practice, lawyers practice. He even called it a family practice. They're practicing on you. Oh, and if this medicine doesn't work, they're going to do it again. Well, guess what? We're practicing our prayer. We're practicing our walk of faith. We're not going to always get it right. We're not going to always see it every time. But we're going to keep the walk of faith. We're going to keep moving forward, regardless of what we see with our eyes. That's faith. James 1, verses 2 through 4. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. James 1, 2 in the Passion Translation. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. So when you don't see it the first time you pray, that's your faith being tested. What are you going to do? What choice are you going to make? Are you going to still pray? Are you going to continue to walk in faith? Or are you going to stop? Are you going to sit down and say, I must have heard wrong. I must have heard God wrong. Or are you going to keep walking? What he's saying is that's your faith being tested, and it's going to produce in you endurance. And then when your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection. Can't wait for that in every part of your being until there is nothing missing or nothing lacking. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for it. And okay, I say I can't wait for that. That means my faith's going to be tested in the meantime. Am I going to put up with my faith being tested, or am I going to quit? Am I going to sit down, sit back on my couch, and say, I must have heard God wrong? Well, if that's where you're going, or if that's where I'm going, then you're not going to be full and complete, lacking nothing. It's just, you're not going to get there. You're going to have to go, and you're going to have to really start the walk of faith again. And I will tell you, in my life, I'll tell you how this plays out in my life. 19 years ago, God called us to move to Florida. It was freaky. We left family in Connecticut. God called us to move to Florida. And I remember calling Lauren. Lauren wasn't with me. She was back home. And I'm sitting here. We call it a house hunting trip. They kind of were the company that moved us, or the company, my company moved me to Florida. And they said, we're going to have you come down, check out the area and see if you like the area. And I remember sitting, I drove out. It was kind of an interesting thing for somebody who's never lived in Tampa before. I drove down, what's 275, the bridge on 275, Howard Franklin. I drive to Howard Franklin. I'm saying, well, let me make a right-hand turn, and I see another bridge up there. I'll try to come back on the other bridge, Courtney Campbell. Like, I'm not sure I could do that now without Waze. But I did that. I'm just driving completely blind, and I end up on the Courtney Campbell. I'm sitting there going, God, this is beautiful. Courtney Campbell at night, where back this before they did all the renovation on it, you can pull off. I think you can still pull off the side of the road. Just pull off the side of the road and sit on the rocks and look at the water. And I finally had to get to the point where I said, God, if it was my choice, I would move to Florida. I would pack up my family, I would move, because I've always wanted to. When I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Orlando. And I always thought that I'd come back to Florida someday. And if it was my choice, if it was my desire, but God, I want it to be your choice. He goes, who do you think put that desire in your heart? That's not a natural desire. That's a crazy desire. So we made the choice to move to Florida. And then I'll tell you the stories if you want to hear them someday. Most of you have, and you're probably bored with them. But we literally sold our house in Connecticut 3 days before we put it on the market. And I had a friend of mine a couple of months ago say, well, you can't expect God to do that again. Yes, I absolutely can expect God to do that again. Because he tested my faith, and this is the endurance of my faith, to know that the same God who moved before will move again on our behalf. Might not be the same way, we might not see it the same. The miracles might come in different flavors or whatever, but the miracles will come because we're taking the step of faith. Steps to walking in faith. Number one, we need to learn to hear what God is saying. There is so much noise in our lives. It's crazy. I remember a friend of mine said a while ago, he goes, we just need more information. I'm like, we've got information like crazy. We've got an overload of information. If you want to find out information, get on the internet. And you will get information. And some of it will be true, and some of it will be false, and some of it will be good for you, and some of it will be poison. But if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Or my sheep hear my voice, depending on which version you go with. It's interesting when you study other languages, and I never wanted to speak Spanish, never wanted to learn Spanish. But there are some cool things that I hear that I pay attention to that kind of hit me a little bit interesting when I learn Spanish. So there, if you look up, like put in Google Translate to hear. What verb are you going to get, Christian? If you put up in Google Translate, no, you won't. You'll get escuchar. There's two verbs. There's oír and escuchar. Escuchar means to hear. Oír means to hear, but it's really to pay attention to. Like you can hear it. You can listen to a bunch of stuff. But you want to pay attention? Really, you're only going to pay attention to one thing at a time. The word here in the Spanish Bible is oír. My sheep, oír. Well, it's not. My sheep, oyen. I think it's oyen. Mi voz. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice. They listen for it. When I was a kid, I was at a football game one time, and I just loved going to football games. It was not because I love football. I mean, I do like football, but it wasn't because I wanted to watch football. It was just because I want to hang out with my friends. And so we're all kind of hanging out at the football game, high school football game. So there was this grassy area at the end of the bleachers, and the really little kids would go up and they would roll down the hill, get up and roll down the hill. This pastor friend that I knew, he goes up the top of his hill and he snaps his finger. Now there's cheering, there's football, there's everything going on, and he snapped his fingers and his kids looked up because they knew how to hear when he called them. They knew, okay, that's Dad. I need to listen. And they went running up. They went running back up the hill. That's the same way it is with Jesus. We need to get to the point of listening to his voice where he says, where he just goes, Paul? I'm like, yes, Lord. Now, in my personal life, because I do hear from God, it's kind of interesting. I have a lot of stuff going on. I like things on all the time, music or movies or whatever, and I don't necessarily pay attention to them. But I have been able to hear the voice of the Lord. And when you do that, when you practice that, there are some things that you will recognize about the voice of the Lord. He is always encouraging. He is always loving. And he will say to you things that make absolutely no sense. He will say to you things that are absolutely crazy, and most of the time they will conflict with your circumstances. Of me? You obviously don't know me very well. Yeah, I know you better than you know yourself, and I still love you. When you hear God's voice, obey him. That was the, sometimes that's, this is the most difficult thing to do is obey the voice. Because we always kind of tell ourselves, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That wasn't God. That was your own feelings. No, my own feelings don't tend to tell me to pray for somebody and give them a word. My own feelings, I'll tell you something, my own feelings won't tell me to move to Honduras. My own feelings will not tell me to move to Florida. My own feelings will not tell me whatever, to do something crazy. My own feelings won't tell me to put my net back in the water one more time. But the voice of the Lord will. During one of my first trips to Honduras, I'm praying for people, and that was my job. People are coming, and I'm witnessing to them. I'm leading them to Jesus, and regardless, I'm praying for them. And I'm with relatively conservative Christians, and I know that, so I'm packaging things very, not like I would package things if I'm ministering with Pentecostals. And so I'm saying, I kind of feel like God is telling me that you've had some really big struggles recently, or whatever it is. And we had a break one time, and this translator, she was, I think, a 16 or 17-year-old girl. She goes, how do you do that? And I'm like, how do I do what? She goes, You're reading people's minds. You're telling them what they're thinking. You're telling them what's happening. I'm like, I'm not reading anybody's mind. I said, I pray as they're coming up. I pray, God, show me something about that person that will let them know that you see them and that you love them. And that's really the purpose of prophecy. That's the purpose of words of knowledge, is to show somebody that God loves them and he sees them right where they are. And she goes, what if you're wrong? I said, I've been doing this a while, so I'm not usually wrong. But if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. It's okay. I'm human. Sometimes I get it wrong. Most of the time, I get it right. There was one time, a lady comes up. And I remember I was kind of up on a platform like this, and it was a little bit higher. And so she's got to walk up about four steps, and she's got her 6 or 7 year old son with her. And I get the word that her husband has been beating her. How in the world do I tell that to her? So she comes up, we talk for a while, and she accepts Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I'm like, huh. And so all this time, as I'm going through, as I'm leading her to the Lord, I'm also saying, Holy Spirit, how do I deal with this information? What do I do with it? So I looked at her at the end before she left, and I said, let me ask you one more question. I said, are you happy? And I don't know what it was, but she just looked at me. She goes, and I said, what is it? She goes, it's his father. I said, I know. And I said, but let me tell you something. You've got Jesus living inside of you now. So the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive inside of you right now. And so you have a power, and you can pray and learn how to use it. Learn how to stand and say in the name of Jesus Christ, no. I have no idea what happened. It was somewhere around the city of Comayagua. I don't know if I'll ever see this woman again. I might. It's not that far away. So, number one, we're going to hear the voice of the Lord. Number two, we're going to make the choice to obey. And number three, we're going to get prepared to do the hard work. We've got 18 and a half years of our life in this house, literally, to look at something that I paid for 10 years ago, I paid money for, and I've never used, but there's always a use for it, and it's, you know, it's good, it has a value, but there's no way I'm taking it to Honduras. That's some of the hardest stuff you've ever had to do in your life. To look at clothes and say, I know that if I lose weight, I can fit in those clothes. Well, and take them to Goodwill or take them to Salvation Army. I'm not gonna keep those clothes. You know, if and when I lose the weight, we will buy new clothes. But it's hard. It's hard. And so all this stuff's going on. About 2 weeks ago, some of you know, I fell. So I'm standing on a chair. So I'm about this high off the ground, outside off the ground. And I fell back, and it was so quick I didn't have time to catch myself. If I caught myself, I probably would have broken my arm. But I fell flat on my back. I was not blessed. When I could start breathing again, which was not right away, I realized I didn't have my phone to call my wife. She could not have lifted me up anyway. And I'm sitting there going, I'm out in the middle of our front yard. How in the world am I going to get back into the house. I can't walk. And so I rolled over and I got on my hands and knees and I start crawling back toward my house. Literally, start crawling back toward my house. I pull myself up and I finally got to where I could walk, but I was like walking like this. And I'm like, that's why old men walk like that. And I'm walking like that in the house, and I finally get up, and as soon as I got to the front door, I yelled out, I said, I think we need to go to the hospital. Praise God, nothing was broken. But there is not a moment right now where I don't feel some kind of ache or pain in my back. And if I twist it just right, or if I do something just right, I still have the pain in my back. And then I'm like, I've got to load up a moving truck. I've got to pull all this stuff out of my house. God, this is crazy. But I'm willing to do the hard work. Number four, don't be surprised when you see the miracle. The miracle might not look like you thought it would look. Like, I remember in Connecticut, I thought, okay, I'm going to fix up my house. We're going to get it all fixed up. And like when we moved, when the movers moved us out of our house in Connecticut, there's trash all over the place. Because if you don't move it, they throw it on the floor. And so there's just, I'm coming back to my house going, and I get this. It's back in days of answer machines. I get this message on my answer machine. Hey, Paul. This is Pastor Eric Lehman from Freedom International Church. We're in Freedom International back then. He goes, I just want to let you know how blessed we are that your family's been worshiping with us. And we're praying that you sell your house quickly and move down here. And I looked around at my house going, Pastor, you might be a man of God. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. I've got trash all over my house. My kitchen, I had started renovating my kitchen. There is nothing in my kitchen, including walls. All the plaster's been taken off. The sink is gone. The refrigerator's gone. Everything's gone out of my kitchen. I think the stove might have still been there. But everything's gone. And like I said, guy's walking, he goes, can I see your house? Guy's walked up to me on the street, he says, can I see your house? Took him through the house, he goes, clean up the trash and I'll buy it. What? Because I'm looking at, man, this is going to take me months. I'm working a full-time job. My job is an hour commute each way. I'm like, I came home at night and I don't have energy to work in a house. Stop the work. He literally says, stop the work. I want to do it myself. I twist my arm. That was not what I thought God was going to do. Do it again, God. Yeah. John 15, verses 5 and 7. 15:5 says, I'm the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as my source, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. Other versions say you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's not a whole lot of ambiguity in there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:7 says, but if you live in life union with me, other words are abide, remain. If you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. Without me, nothing. With me, everything. Without me and with me, everything. Those are the choices. This is the choice that we have as Christians. We can walk in the nothing, we can sit on the couch, or we can walk by faith and live in the everything. One of the things that's interesting when I think about this, and Pastor mentioned this last week, Psalm 119, 105. I don't remember if I put it in there or not. Yes, I did. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. You know what? It's not, it doesn't light our whole way. It doesn't light the journey. Our journey is not illuminated. It's just a flashlight pointing down at my next step. What's my next step? What's the path I'm going to take? What's the next thing? What are the next couple things I need to do? Because I'll tell you, if we knew what it all was, I wouldn't need that relationship with God. I'd just say, okay, I got it, Jesus. I'm running on from here. We have walked by faith. We walk by faith not knowing how we're going to do it, not knowing, 10 steps down the line what it's going to be, but I know the next thing to do. And that's something we've had to tell ourselves that a lot in the last couple of weeks. We thought it'd be really great. We'd put our house on the market, and we'd sell our house, and it would sell quickly, just like our one in Connecticut did. And we spoke with a real estate broker who's a friend of ours, and he goes, you can't even put it on the market right now because you have to have your roof replaced. He said, and the roof that cost $6,000, because I still have the receipt from it, they put it on right before we moved in. It was $6,500 to get the roof replaced in 2004. That same roof today, the lowest quote we've got is $15,000. The highest quote is $22,000. Insurance will not insure your home. They will not write a new policy in your home if your roof is more than 5 years, or if your roof has less than 5 years of life left in it. And they define life as 20 years. So if your roof is more than 15 years old, you're not going to be able to write a policy, which means they can't get a mortgage. So we're like, well, we'll just get a cash buyer. Cash buyer will not pay off our mortgage. And so we're sitting there going, okay, what do we do? Well, let's take the next step. Because that's where we are right now. Pray for us. That's where we're at. We're at, what's the next step we need to do? We're still packing up our house. We thought we were going to be out of it by today. We literally thought we were going to be out of our house today. We're just going to do the next step. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's a walk, it's a verb of motion. We need to keep moving forward. There's a famous marathon runner named Jeff Galloway. Pastor's mentioned him a couple of times. After Pastor mentioned him, I actually got the opportunity to meet him. Could I find the picture that I had taken with him for today? Nope. He talks about what's called the run, walk, run method. And he's got pacers who will pace you on your marathon. What pace do you want to keep? And they will figure out the intervals that they need to do between walking and running to keep that pace up for the entire race. And he said, you don't start from when you're tired. You pace yourself right from the beginning of the race, but you never stop. You're always moving forward. Don't stop. Always move forward. Our faith will be tested. It's tested when we don't immediately see the results and we have to come back to God and pray again. That's where Luke chapter 11 talks about knock, seek, ask. I love how the Passion translated, because of your relentless persistence or something like that, God will answer your prayer. So just to let you know where we are on our journey, in 2016, it was a 10-year plan. In 2023, we felt that God moved it to 2024. And in April of this year, I'm like, God, why in the world did you move it up so much? This is so much harder than it had to be. And he goes, because 2025, which is kind of our, you know, we knew he was going to accelerate a little bit, so we thought 2025 would be perfect. Because that's possible. He goes, I'm not calling you to do the possible. I'm calling you to do the impossible. Because absolutely, when this is done, it's not going to be, oh, we did such a good job of it ourselves. That's not going to be our testimony, I can guarantee you right now. So some of the things that we've come into, we've had major problems with our homeowners insurance. It tripled at the end of last year. I talked to them on the phone. I got them to agree to only double it. And then they canceled it. And so as I'm trying to get it reinstated, my mortgage company said, oh, your insurance got canceled. We've got to give you our insurance, which is about the same as as our insurance company tripling it. We purchased the car. We purchased the car. We have to take older cars. We can't take new cars to Honduras. They penalize you for bringing newer cars. I don't know why. Driving away after purchasing the car, I found a small problem and took it back to the dealership. 5 minutes. I was 5 minutes down the road. Took it back to the dealership. They said, yeah, we'll take care of it. No problem. And it was right before we left for Honduras. It was May 7th. We left on May 8th. And it is June 30th. And I still haven't seen my car. And I have no idea where the dealership is. I have no idea where they are. I know where the dealership is. They're not there. The people aren't there. So they've effectively stolen our car. I mean, it's got my license plate on it. I've been holding insurance on this car for the last 2 months. Told you about the fall I had a couple weeks ago. We've not lost faith. I'll tell you something. Through that, though, we've seen some miraculous things. The day that I'm on the, I see my mortgage premium come in, and it's an extra $700. Somebody contacts us, and somebody we haven't seen in a while, we haven't talked to in a long time, contacted us out of the blue and said, God put you on our heart. Do you have Zelle? Can I send you money? I'm like, sure, well, thank you. You know, we didn't say this is what we need, and the offering was more than enough to cover the $700 increase in our mortgage. Same day. I'm on the phone to my insurance company and my mortgage company for hours, and that same day we get a call. So God has been faithful. So please continue to pray for us. It is still our goal. We started looking for houses in Honduras to rent. And we've seen some really great houses, and then some that look really great, but they're way more than we wanted to pay. And 2 days ago, this broker sends us this video. We'd seen pictures of the house. Sends us this video of this house. So she's walking through the house doing this video. And Lauren is like, have you seen the video yet? I'm like, no, I haven't seen the video yet. Honey, we can't rent a house in Honduras right now. And you said that if we found the perfect house, we could rent it for a couple of months. I'm like, we don't know that it's going to be a couple of months. Once we sell our house, then we can start a timetable, but we got to sell our house first. And they show us this video. And she goes, it's perfect. It's the perfect house. We wanted 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a wall around the entire house, a yard in the back, a modern kitchen. This house is perfect. It's got everything like that. I had to contact the broker and I said, I'm sorry. And this is kind of interesting because I'm doing this in Spanish. And I'm at the point now where I will venture out there and I do voice. So I'm doing voice texting on WhatsApp. And Lauren's like, what are you saying? I've I said, we can't rent the house now. We have to sell our house first. She says, okay. So the broker says, well, it's not available now anyway. It won't be available till September. And it's cheaper than we were looking at by a lot, $300 or $400 a month. And it's like this, she goes, I really want you guys to rent this house. I want this house to be available for you when you come. So pray for us. Pray for us. We don't know what the miracle God's going to do, but we expect it. We are living, absolutely living in expectation to see what God's going to do.